so much. So thank you. And this is going to be a hard week. I hope you'll be able to see me next Sunday. Just to give any final goodbyes, you'll have to be able to spot me because I'm going to get my hair cut. So it'll be tough for people to find me without my, you know, bright red shirt and massive head of hair. All right. With that said, let's open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Would you all stand for the reading of God's word? 2 Corinthians 9, starting with verse 6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. Let's pray. God, you are our God, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for giving us your message this morning. Please guide the words that I say to be not my words. God, silence my words. Give me only your spirit, because that's all I want to speak. Please allow that desire to just fill and manifest into encouragement from your word, but also in confrontation of our sin. Help us to see you better by seeing who we truly are and who your son truly is and what he did for us. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, you may be seated. Yes. Thank you. You know what to do. You know what to do. This is your church. You've been here for a while. So the context of this letter, this is one of several letters that Paul has written to the Corinthians. We have two of them. There are others that that were sent. But this second letter to the Corinthians has a number of purposes. But one of the main purposes that Paul is writing the book of 2 Corinthians is to let the church in Corinth know, hey, there's a need. And you all are going to be called to be generous with giving, with a financial offering that is going to be required of you and asked of you in a matter of time. That there are going to be people coming to your church and saying, hey, there is a need. Please give. And so Paul is writing to them, telling them how they should be giving and advising them of what godly giving looks like, for them to understand it, so when they are called to give to needy pastors, Christians, and saints in Jerusalem who are just, you know, needing of support, that they, the people of Corinth, will know how to give and rightly give. So thinking about financial giving specifically for us today, you know, I think I'm pretty good at that, you know. And you may think the same, that you've been in church for, you know, a long time and you've been giving a lot faithfully and consistently. So, you know, maybe this message isn't for me. Maybe this is one of those sermons that doesn't apply as much to me and I can just kind of listen without having to, you know, analyze the faults of my life. But as I think of that and some of the deeper issues that Paul is talking about of what it means to wrongfully give, I'm stunned. Because of the sin that I see in my life. Because there are two things that Paul talks about with what is good giving. He says in verse 6 that it's about being generous. It's about sowing a lot. So there's the generosity piece. And then in verse 7, Paul says the other piece, that being a cheerful giver. So cheerfulness and generosity, cheerfully being generous. And also in verse 7, he says what it is not. It's not reluctant or under compulsion. And these are both internal things. These are heart issues, not necessarily issues of giving. Because we can still give if in our hearts we are being reluctant. This is a personal issue for me, because I find all the time I can be reluctant in my giving. Not necessarily that I'm not giving, that I'm not giving back to God what he has given me, but I can be slow. I get paid, but I'm going to wait a week. I'm going to wait another week. You know, there's no rush. You know, I'll wait till I get, you know, a second paycheck and put them both together and, you know, write that. It takes a little bit of work, but it's that little bit of personal reluctance in my heart to give as soon as it's been given, to be faithful in that element of generosity. Sometimes when I'm giving, I think that I don't have much to give, you know, especially, you know, me, we're working a part-time job or, you know, whatever your situation. Sometimes you think, I don't have much that I'm giving. And it just leads us to not be cheerful, leads us to have a wrong motivation for when we give. Sometimes we think that other people are giving enough, so maybe I don't have to give as much. Maybe I don't have to sacrifice as much as I should or feel I should because, other people are so gracious. Other people are so good at giving that okay, I'm all right. They'll cover me. They got my back. Sometimes I find that when I'm giving whatever amount or percentage I'm giving back to God, I round down. Just sly ways of trying to keep more for myself, to not give the way that I should. I'm feeling the compulsion that, you know, I got to give. It's, you know, being called to me. My dad will be mad at me if I don't, because he looks at my bank account. But if I round down, he probably won't notice. But other times we think that, you know, it's not my spiritual gift, generosity, giving. It's not mine. It's other people's, and that's awesome. It's so great to see how gracious you are. And sometimes we give compliments to other people because of how needy we realize. And it makes us feel better sometimes when they got that gift covered, so I don't have to be generous. Sometimes we make excuses like, I gave a lot of money earlier this year. I gave a lot of money to this charity or this other need that came up. So I don't have to give as much to the church or to this, because, you know, I'm still given the same amount. That's not cheerful or generous giving. What that is, it is greed talking. It is greed. That is the sin. And it grips me so much in all these subtle ways, because what greed is if I were to define it, it's our desire to want anything and everything that we can claim as our own, that we can say, that we can have power over, that we can have as our own. So if it's that we're waiting to give, it's our time. And that's more like, oh, it's our thing to give. That I'm going to give when I'm ready, when I want to, when I feel like it, however much I want to give, you know, I'll choose. You know, I'll round down because, you know, I don't have to give it at all. It's my money. It's mine that I can choose when to give. But really, this is not at all the truth. And Paul tells us of this bigger picture, this greater reality in verse 10, that God is the one who gives the seed. He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. And then in verse 8, he talks about about God supplying grace and sufficiency. That these are the things that God gives us, rather than the things that we need to hold on to that are ours, that we can claim as our own, as our greedy hearts would have us. This passage is about the bigger picture, understanding what God's calling is. So, second question there of what are we called to? As I said before, we are called to cheerful generosity. Not one, not the other, but both in tandem. And I asked myself the question, okay, generosity, it's a little more obvious, but cheerfulness alongside generosity. I don't remember the last time I was cheerful when I gave financially. You know, maybe I was cheerful when I gave of my time and was serving in this way, serving the church in this way, or meeting with someone, going to a Bible study or discipling or reading the Bible. Maybe I was cheerful or thankful then, but of giving specifically finances, that's just a whole nother story. I actually do remember of a time that I was cheerful when giving, and that was when I was a kid. When I was super young, I had this cool little plastic house that had three divisions in it that you would put your money. One of it was savings, one of it was spending, and one of it was church. And it was so fun to whenever I'd get some money or allowance or whatever it may be, to divide it up into the sections, put it in there, and then when Sunday would roll around, open it up and take out the money for church and be sitting there with some change jingling in my pocket, waiting for that offering plate to come along so I could contribute to all the things that the adults were doing and stick that in, be cheerful. But it's different now, because what happens when we have more to give, when it hurts us more, when we have this wrongful perspective of greed as we have been given more, it seems impossible to be cheerful sometimes. Just ask a question, when was the last time we were cheerful in our giving? It's easy to be cheerful when we're you know, helping Girl Scouts by buying their delicious cookies or by going to plays or whatever and supporting, you know, the local theater or acting guild and, you know, supporting kids, you know, through little offerings and buying their little stuff. Not to say that's wrong or to discredit that, but it's easy to be cheerful in those ways. It's harder to be cheerful in the larger things. What Paul is calling us to, and to get a better idea of cheerfulness, is he talks about with an overflowing of thanksgiving. And that's another way that we can look at cheerfulness. It's this joy that you well up in thanksgiving. So as we think about trying to be cheerful, how about the next time the offering bag goes around, that when we put in money, we say, thank you, God. We say thank you. Even if maybe we're still giving out of reluctance, or that we're saying it, but we still don't feel cheerful about how much we're given, to just say thank you, God, every time we give. So that the more we say thank you, thank you, thank you, by God's grace, He'll change our hearts to be more cheerful. In verse 13, we are called to submissiveness, to give what God has given us, not of the things that are ourselves. To understand that how we give shows our faith, shows who we are as Christians. Just like any other service, how we give shows our faith. So we are called to be cheerful givers because it shows our faith. Because it shows our trusting in God, not a sight. We don't have sight of greed that blinds us. That's the thing about greed, is it gives us such a short and narrow sightedness that we're only looking from a specific perspective of me and what I need and what I want for me. But when we look at generosity and cheerful generosity as a showing of our faith, we are encouraged, hopefully, to give better. We are called to separate ourselves from the greed that blinds us. And we can be easily blinded by greed, especially after a lot of years of giving and of service, that sometimes we think that no matter how much I give, it doesn't feel like things are really changing. It feels like I give and give every week, bleeding money all over this church, and nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. That I want to see things happening, that I want this fruit, this reaping and harvest, but I just don't see it. So our greed is talking, because this passage asks us and tells us to see the bigger picture, to not be motivated by blinding greed, but to be motivated by something else. So then what is the motivation for our generosity? It's first important to understand that generosity is a form of worship. At church, we don't take a break from our worship service to give money. No, it is a form of worship. It shows our faith, shows our thankfulness to God, hopefully. It shows how willing we are to give back to God, to put our lives in his hands, and to be thankful for that state as needy sons and daughters of God. Verse 13 tells us that others give glory to God through our righteousness. Paul points out that when we give to the church and give to the things that the mission of God, that other people worship and other people give glory to God and of thanks. I know that I have being blessed by your service, allowing me to come here on an internship. I praise God all the time for this opportunity that was given to me through the gracious giving of you all. And God's glory being made manifest in the works of the church, that, trust me when I say that when we give, it does not go out in vain. Earlier in this chapter, Paul tells of the zeal that has been instilled in other churches because of your gracious giving and cheerful giving. That when other people give, and we see the generosity, the service of others, we are empowered to be more zealous in our desires to serve God. So when you think of what we should, of how we should give and what the purpose is when we give rightly, we inspire others to do the same. And thinking of cheerfulness, because generosity can be easy to understand of, okay, you know, we need to give more. We can, you know, get a sense if we're questioning our desires of how much we're giving to understand that I'm not being generous. But cheerfulness? Well, cheerfulness looks like thankfulness. It looks like being very, very glad for an opportunity to give to something bigger than ourselves, to give to this church building that we're all worshiping together in, to give to other missions. I know that the people in Mexico are very appreciative of gifts given to them, because let me tell you, there are amazing things happening in Mexico with so many churches popping up and up and up, and the pastors really want to know who God is, and to go to seminary has been a dream of so many of them, and American churches coming alongside them, supporting them through generous giving, allowing them to go to seminary and to come back and to have continued support from these churches to grow and grow and grow and maybe build a sanctuary of their own to worship God in. You know, one of the reasons that it's hard to be thankful when looking at what our greed does to us is our greed asks us the question a lot of times, do you want to be poor? Do you want to be needy? No, you don't. So keep some of that for yourself. That our greed tells us that we don't want to be poor. We don't want to be needy. And we have this wrong perspective. But our motivation, seeing this bigger picture, Paul says earlier in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, he tells us what our motivation should be. That one of these strong motivations, not only in thankfulness to God for what he has given us in finances, but also to what Christ has given us. Because in chapter 8, Paul says that Christ was rich. And Christ is rich. He had everything. He had all power, all dominion. We sang about the universe being in his hands, in his control, with all knowledge and wisdom and authority. Christ had it all. And yet, Paul says he became poor. Christ, who was rich, became poor for us. That is such an affront to our greed, because we don't want to be poor, yet the person who had everything became poor for us, so that you might become rich, so that we could become rich, So we should never think that we are poor. Brothers and sisters, we are rich. We are rich. No matter what you think, no matter what's going on, the work of Christ should bring us a thankfulness that I am rich, because through Christ's death, through the spilling of his precious blood that was necessary because of our greed, because of our selfish desires, because of our reluctance, our bad habits of giving, Christ had to spill his precious blood so that we could become rich and have eternal life if we believe in him. If we have faith that Christ really died for us, really loved us, really cared for us, those who were poor, those who were sinners, Christ is awesome. Christ is awesome. And that brings a smile to my face, as it should all of us, so that when I give, I can think of the giving of Christ, not only in his death, but reading through the gospel, seeing his life and seeing all that he gave. Christ did not live the life of a king. He went around everywhere talking and talking to people, preaching to whoever would listen, working miracles, giving to the poor, the hungry, healing the sick and the needy. Giving everything just in his life, and then much, much more in his death and resurrection. So when we give, we need to be thankful for the riches that we have and the riches that God has given us. Because all the money we have is from God. All of it. So thank you, God, for that job. Thank you, God, for the tax breaks that we get. Thank you, God, for the government that's willing to go bankrupt for paying Social Security. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for what you have given, for the skills that you have given me, for the knowledge, the things that I apply, that you have given me to make this money. Thank you, God. I give it back to you, because you give us, God gives us the seed, and God gives us the bread. Because we need it. We need bread. Because we're needy. We're needy people. And when we ask the question of what should we do, the answer is to repent. The answer is to repent and to turn to God and to ask him for bread. Ask him for food. Ask him to feed us, so that we recognize our sin. We recognize the times that we're being selfish. And not just for financial stuff, but this does apply to all sorts of, to all matters of giving and of service. That we say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. You have shown me my sin. I'm doing a complete turn to go to Christ for food, for nourishment, so that as I'm going throughout my week, when I'm called to give, when I'm called to serve, when there's a need, that I have the sufficiency and the grace from the God who gives us bread to then sow seeds of righteousness, to show our faith through our passion, through our generosity, our thankfulness, and our love. That's what it comes down to. It's doing all things through Christ who strengthens us. How do we get a cheerful heart? Being cheerful is the motivation for giving. If our problem is not being generous enough, then we just give more. But if we don't want to, if the problem is that we're reluctant to give, we need to come to our Father and ask him to change our hearts, because God has the power to do that. We give him glory for that. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Let's pray. God, you are sovereign. You are good. And your mercies to us are more than we can count. But we need to try. We need to try to count them. We need to try to give back to you what you have given to us. Because that's what you call of us, to be humble servants as broken vessels, holding your great truth. Jars of simple clay, but holding the glory and illuminating the majesty of our risen and glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given us all riches. Amen.